E. Jean Carroll, advice columnist for Elle magazine, has come out with a shocking new book about what has happened to her with various men over the years, including an encounter in a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room with Donald Trump, part of the Me Too movement. But you can hear E. Jean. She's funny as can be and doesn't really dwell too much on Mr. Trump, only a couple of pages in her book. But she does have wild stories to tell. Let me tell you. Welcome to the OG Podcast Network. I'm Jonah Hamburg, and you can get our original podcast, Let Me Tell You, whenever you want on this network. Today, and for whatever, E. Jean Carroll. I met E. Jean many, many years ago when we were both starting out. Actually, E. Jean was the advice columnist for Elle magazine, and she's still doing it, has millions and millions of listeners. But she came out with a shocking story of what happened to her many, many years ago with Donald Trump. And then she started, because she's funny, but this wasn't so funny, she started doing a whole thing of horrible men in her life, joined by a lot of her readers from all over. Anyway, she is a fascinating guest, so I hope you join it. And talking of great guests, I hope all of you can come to our special luncheon show with a live audience. We're smaller this time because on August 7th, we're meeting at Cheska Restaurant, a very good restaurant on the west side of Manhattan, West 75th Street. Great guests, great food, lots of fun. And if you want to go to a theater matinee, perfect. Here's how you do it. For a reservation, go to WABCradio.com, WABCradio.com, or call, not for a reservation, for information at 212-613-3848. And that's good. I wanted to tell you I had a really busy week because my granddaughter and family were in from L.A., and that's always a treat for us. And Stella only wanted to go back to the American Museum of Natural History. She loved the Unseen Oceans, that fabulous exhibit there, and the dinosaurs, and the gift shop, and later, avocado rolls and miso soup, her favorite, and loves to dance on the street. Anyway, we had a ball, and we had food in a place I have not been to in a long time, Il Cantinori at 32 East 10th Street. Gosh, it was really delicious. And it's a good place to know about. It's a little hot to sit outside, but still, it's just so pleasant. And it's so much fun to be in Greenwich Village. I love it. And I wanted to tell you, too, I mentioned it on our Saturday show, that I had to get a new driver's license. You need an enhanced license as real ID, and you can use that for domestic flights and a lot of different buildings in New York. So no one mentioned it, and even though I had looked online, I didn't know that you can make a reservation. Please, what a mistake. 2.5 hours I sat there. It was unreal. We were like numb, 2.5 hours. But in New York State, you can make a reservation online before going. In the city, in Westchester, Nassau, Suffolk, and you can go to dmv.ny.gov. And what a lot of people didn't realize, because maybe they missed it, you need proof of Social Security. I was sitting next to someone who waited 2.5 hours along with me, finally got her turn, was like exhilarated, didn't have proof of Social Security. I don't carry my Social Security card because I can never find it. Anyway, it's a good thing I noticed it there, and I immediately wrote to emailed my accountant and said, quick, give me a W-2 or a copy so I have my Social Security. So you do need special documents. You do need information. You do need patience. Okay? It was like a nightmare. Maybe I just hate waiting. Anyway, the people couldn't have been nicer. Lovely. But for the rest of us sitting there all those hours, there's got to be a better way. At any rate, you want to find out what you can do to get over all this stress. How about going to the beach, the New Jersey Shore, one of my favorite excursions, Spring Lake, a place we love. It's a great getaway. It's not your typical beach town. It is romantic. It's beautiful. It's low key. It has great Victorian homes. The beach is wide. It's clean. They have a no cooler rule, so you know. Parking is free at the beach, and you can get a badge for the day, $10 a person. Lots of B&Bs there, and lots of hotels. Check out the Breakers Hotel right on the beach. Have lunch on the porch. Honestly, you'll think you've been away for weeks. That's on Ocean Avenue, Spring Lake, 732-449-7700. And I get the biggest kick out of going to Asbury Park. It's happening. It's cool. It's got a great boardwalk, different from Spring Lake. It's booming. And it has a lot of restaurants, a lot of music. Metered parking, day passes, $5 during the week, $7 on the weekend. Don't forget nightlife. The Stone Pony is famous. And check out our pal Tim McClune's newest restaurant, the Iron Whale, Ocean Avenue on the boardwalk, 732-361-5185. You're going to love it. And they have a brand new fancy hotel, the Asbury Ocean Club Hotel. 5 stars. Starts at $425 a night. If you go in September, $215. So lots going on. You and I will share. But meanwhile, stay tuned because I want you to meet my guest, E. Jean Carroll. I'm Joan Hamburg for Let Me Tell You. Everyone, welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. I'm really excited because I haven't seen E. Jean Carroll. I can't even tell you in how long. Her column, Ask E. Jean, Elle Magazine, for so many years, over 8 million people read this, take her advice. She's amazing. She's smart, she's funny, and she wrote a really terrific book called What Do We Need Men For? A Modest Proposal. But this isn't just E. Jean. She went across the country with her standard poodle.
Lewis Carroll.
Lewis Carroll, which is a great, better than my standard's name. Much more creative. And she went to towns that had women's names, talked to women, and raised this question out of the blue. I'm sure a lot of people thought you were a nutcake.
Well, they were stunned.
Like, who comes?
I would jump out of the car. My car has blue polka dots on it.
Right, your car with a name.
My car's name is Miss Bingley, named after the mean girl in Pride and Prejudice.
Right.
We'd pull up into a small town like Tallulah, Louisiana, or Marysville, Ohio, or Eudora, Arkansas. Jump out, and I had dyed Lewis Carroll's, he's a cream color.
Right.
Your
mine's
Annie
so white.
Wallace is a, she's a white poodle. Okay, so he looks like your poodle, but I've dyed his hair blue on his head. We jump out of the car, and already a crowd is gathering, because these small towns are so wonderful.
Right, and they don't see poodles with blue hair.
They don't see poodles.
Yeah.
So the first thing I would say, hi, how are you doing? What do we need men for? And stunned silence. And usually, it was the oldest woman
who would
speak up first. The young women are like a little confused because they actually, you know, are thinking about their boyfriends and their ex-husbands.
Right.
But the older woman, Joan, what do we need men for, Joan?
We need men for, well, the truth is, in my generation, if you didn't have one, the flag was at half-mast. That's what we needed Lynn for, to keep your mother off your back.
Oh, my God. I'm going to stop the presses and just go to the next printing and put that in there. No, exactly. We had our identities. Through men. This is our generation. We're the silent generation. We were born during World War II, right?
Yeah, right at the very beginning of war. Yeah.
And I was born right in the middle of it. And so that is how, yes, we were judged on the...
Had to.
Yeah.
And the things that were happening... My first jobs out of school were magazines and ad agencies.
You went to Sarah Lawrence?
I went to Barnard.
Barnard, of course.
And we were doing, we thought, the right thing. You know, you go off to college, you need an education, but you need a man the most. And I remember, and I didn't want to get married at all.
You were young, great looking.
No, I wanted to have a big career, be an actress or writer, the whole bit. And finally, I just, you know, my little town, it was required.
Yes.
And I finally, when I got engaged, and I said to my then fiancé, now husband, listen, we were looking for apartments. You don't mind if I turn our bedroom into an office?
Oh, great.
He was horrified, you know. I got married in a blue dress with spangles as my protest.
Joan!
I know. I never forget the look on his face of sheer horror. Here comes the bride. She's all dressed in blue. He didn't know what to do. Sparkles.
Joan, see, and then Gloria Steinem came along and said, we want to be the men we're
meant. Exactly.
What was her line?
She said, something about we want to be the men we marry, or something like that.
Yes, yeah, so, and she and Betty Friedan, they started to change it, but very slowly.
But yeah. Betty, I used to work with Betty's husband.
Oh, he was in advertising or producing.
He did these little so-called newspapers, you know, right, with the client on them, and he was a very sweet guy. And can you imagine, this guy didn't know what happened to him. He had no clue.
You know, she is a, do you know, well, you remember this. In 1970, this is not 1870, women could not eat lunch in the Oak Room of the Plaza. And that's where the business deals were going down. We
of
were
course.
Not allowed in the Plaza Oak Room, where every major business deal, remember in the 60s, Oak Room.
Yes.
Weren't allowed. So Betty Friedan and her friends, white gloves, hats, heels, staged a protest in the Plaza Hotel.
And it worked.
It worked. They buckled. And women finally were free to eat, you know, to have our three martinis and our...
But you want to know what's so interesting, and we have to really get to E. Jean's book and what she came forth with and everything. But in those days, the 2-3 hour lunch, as you pointed out, if a man, I know this sounds terrible, but if he didn't come on to you,
yeah,
you thought, oh no,
what am I doing wrong?
Exactly. I remember I'd go down the street with a friend of mine who was then editor of the Paris Review in Paris, the sexiest woman you ever met, and truck drivers would whistle at her, and they didn't whistle at me, and my feelings were really hurt. And I said to her, teach me.
Oh,
and she said, I can't. You have to have the signal that says, I'm available.
And you were married.
And you don't know how to send that signal.
No, you don't.
So she said, I can't teach you. To this day, she's one of the... My son, you know, would say...
The famous writer.
She is so hot.
Oh, my God.
And about my friend, I'd say, she's hot and your mother isn't. You know, it was a different time because there was a casting couch.
Yeah, I know. There was a... Listen, I made a list from this while I was on the road trip. Women were telling me stories of the hideous men in their own lives.
Yeah, I love that you did
so
that.
So I started my own list of the most hideous men I had ever met. And I have 21 of those little assholes on the list.
Including... the President of the United States, was the head of one of the most important television institutions.
Yeah, Les Moonves, but every woman has a Les Moonves. So
right.
He probably pinched you in the elevator too. I would guess, really, Joan?
Don't remember.
But I know you've met him a couple of times.
Yeah, of course. We all did in those days.
I was having dinner at Elaine's.
Which was the hangout.
And I was with a woman, a major movie star from the West Coast, and a television, a New York Times writer from the East Coast, two different careers, both had tragic Moonves stories. Tragic. They're two different careers, two different ages, two different places. They both had Moonves stories. Everybody knew about Moonves. Everybody. And nobody could do anything about it until Ronan Farrow.
Mia Farrell's son, allegedly with Woody Allen. I still think that's Woody's child because he's very smart. But what do we know?
What do we know?
You know, what do we know? But he blew the whistle on all this stuff.
Yes, he did.
But, you know, you write in your new book, and I'm going to plug it, What Do We Need Men For? You grew up in Indiana. You were Miss Everything. Right?
Miss Indiana University. You're in the
Miss
presence
Cheerleader.
Of Miss Cheerleader USA. You have royalty on your show, Joan. Royalty.
I know. Royalty. And no matter what happened to you with all these horrible young boys, old boys, survived.
Joan, it's women our age. It is all of our stories. Every woman has been through what I have been through. I strongly believe that.
Right, no, you're right, but what made you decide now? Successful, and it never went away. You know, success has stayed and grown.
That's because you and I keep working.
Well, I know, but we're lucky that we keep working. How many people do we know that can't even get any kind of job?
I know.
So tell me what made you truthfully decide, I'm going to do this, because only some of your most intimate women friends knew that Donald Trump had assaulted you, or allegedly assaulted you, in a dressing room at Bergdorf's.
My favorite department
I was going to say, you really picked a good place.
No, it's my favorite. It's the coziest, poshest, most wonderful place on earth, and that would be the horrible place that happened. I just got fed up with what men have been getting away with. I just had been fed to the eyebrows. I thought, damn, I'm just going to write this. And I was angry, and I stayed angry. You know, you have to keep that seed of anger.
Right, to make it happen.
To make it happen, to get that list down and to write it. And the Donald Trump thing is only 11 pages in the book. The book is comedic.
It's story about growing up the way you grew up, too.
That's 11 pages. And he's a pest on Western civilization. He didn't ruin my life. He didn't even ruin 2 days of my life. He ruined a full day of my life.
Right,
that's
it.
And then I moved on. And Joan, it was against my will. And I fought. And I have moved on.
Which is the way. So what do you think about all these women who say 30, 40, 50 years later, they can't move on?
Well, they were...
Could that really be real?
No, it's real, Joan. You know, well, I think that if you're attacked or assaulted at the age of 7 or 15,
terrifying.
You'll never get over.
You don't.
You'll never get... At 16?
Right.
Yeah. If that had happened to me at 16, I would
it's there.
I'd be out in the country with a shawl over my head.
25, 30... 40?
Well, it depends on how they're growing up. And mm-hmm. we do know that Joan, you know this better than anybody. If you dwell on the sad things in your life, it doubles the burden.
Yeah, and you can't go on.
You can't go on. But if you see the humor in it, which you always do.
But you did. But that's what you did, too. Even when Donald Trump started coming on to you, just married to Marla Maples, you sort of thought it was funny and made it funny in your head.
Oh, Joan. I thought it was hilarious. I was a writer at Saturday Night Live. What could be funnier than advising Donald Trump?
And he was a good old boy.
And he was great, by the way. He was great in the 80s and 90s. We all forget. He was hail fellow, well met.
Good looking. Everyone, remember in the Norma days, his assistant and secretary?
Yes.
he was good-natured, come good to nature. Atlantic City.
Yeah, and greeted everybody and asked how you were doing.
Right, he cared.
So I had a real scene going. I thought, and I admit I was flirting my brains out.
Right.
And even it though, was funny. And then it was not funny when he slammed that door.
And it turned not funny.
That's not funny. So I was stupid. And because you and I come from a certain generation, I still think it's my fault. I shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have walked in
right.
that room.
Right, but you know, you thought, which we say all the time, God, that's going to make a good story.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, where a lot of people yeah. might say, what am I going to bother for? He's got a wife. He's done. Yeah. You think.
I'm thinking.
What a story.
That's how I started to tell my friend when I got out of the incident.
You called two of your good friends.
Lisa Birnbaugh.
Whom I know very well.
You know Lisa very well. Mm-hmm. And you know my
Carol
other friend.
Carol Martin. We all worked both. Together at CBS.
And I started to tell Lisa and I was laughing.
And she said, not funny.
Yeah, she said, Eugene, this is not funny. I couldn't calm down because apparently I was a little... The adrenaline was flowing, mm-hmm. and my natural reaction when I'm frightened is to laugh. So, yeah, she had to calm me down.
Now, the book, which has done incredibly, is doing very well. It's just out, and you're getting a lot of press. Is it good? Is this something good for you in your head? You're enjoying it?
Well,
or is you're taking a lot of heat?
Oh, I'm taking heat, but I don't mind. Yeah. I don't mind. You know what? He is a pest on civilization. I do not mind taking heat. And I don't mind talking about all these hideous men because they got to be held to account. Really, Joan. They did some really naughty, bad things to me. And I'm just getting mine back. That's it. That's it. I'm standing up, right?
Yeah.
And I get to do it. I'm a writer. I get up like your son every morning and write. That's what I do. And then... Of course, I'm going to publish a book about it. It's my natural...
That's what you do.
That's what... And, of course, I caught heat for putting it in a book. I caught heat for maybe making money, trying to earn a living. I caught heat because a woman is not supposed to write. A woman is not just supposed to tell her story. A woman is certainly not supposed to publish her story. A woman is not supposed to come on your famous radio show and talk about it because I should keep these things to myself.
But it's too hard for you.
Yes.
You can't do that, and it's okay.
Thank you.
Now, you're still writing your column.
Right.
And people, have you found, Eugene, that what they want from you has changed over
yeah,
the years?
It's changed in the last 2 years.
Like?
Ever since the Harvey Weinstein bombshell hit in the New York Times by Megan Toohey and Jody Kantner.
Right.
And Ronan Farrow in the New Yorker.
Yeah,
as soon as that hit, the letters to my column changed. They say, Eugene, should I come forward and report my husband to the police? My husband, you know, my boyfriend's beating my dog. Should I call the sheriff? I never got those letters before.
No.
They weren't asking me what to do because they just figured they'd stay quiet.
Right. Or you got letters asking, how do you meet a man?
Oh,
how do you keep a man?
Yes, yes.
Those were the...
Those have stopped.
Yeah, well, because we're in a different time, right?
Right.
I mean, we're in a totally different time. So this book is out, everyone talking about it, cover story of New York Magazine, my dear, in that fabulous old Donna Karen.
Oh, that fabulous...
I love that.
We photographed me in the dress I was wearing.
Love that dress.
It was a classic. I never put it on
afterwards. It was a coat dress.
Yes. Did you have one?
Of course I had a coat dress. We had dresses. Now I can't even find dresses in my closet. Because it's so much easier.
I know.
Just pull out something black.
Yeah, and put it on the bottom, and then you pull out something colorful from
right,
the top.
Right, and that's
done.
Enough. You know, one jacket in one color, get it in four colors, you're finished.
Exactly. Exactly. Joan, I just love talking to you.
Yeah.
You're the best interviewer.
Tell me.
No, really.
What do you want to do now? The book is out.
Yeah.
You've enjoyed it. A little bit of trouble with it, but fun in the end. And reality and truth. So what now? The column is going strong.
I'm writing another book.
On?
I'm getting... Well,
tell us. We won't tell anyone.
It's about the experience I'm going through now.
It's about the experience of writing a book and blowing the whistle.
Who could help but do that? You would do that. I'm a writer. This is what I'm doing.
I know. I'm not good at that, though. I, to this day, cannot hurt people's feelings. It's sick, but that's it. I was brought up like that.
When you get that special award, I think people, persons after person, came up and said, she's the kindest. Remember that? That broadcasting thing? You were like the woman of the year?
Yeah.
And that people always said that, even though you've been on the air forever, that you don't hurt people's feelings, which is very unusual.
But I can't bear it. I mean, and everyone has something to say. Doesn't mean I like it or you like it or we approve of it, but...
You listen.
But I listen.
And you're curious.
Well, of course, because we're always curious.
Wait, you've had Donald Trump on this, haven't you?
Years ago, not on this show, because he's president now, and we're not the conservative voice here. We have enough conservative voices.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all over radio land. You know, it's different. I used to have him on. He used to go on the John Gambling show all the time.
Oh, right.
Remember? And I would have him on when he was... the most delightful, adorable guy.
People have to remember this.
No one can remember. Adorable.
Very good.
I had Ivana on all the time in the early years. Yeah.
She ran the Plaza Hotel.
That woman was smart. Oh, my gosh.
Super smart.
And she would invite all of us to the spa for the day. She was true. And her parents... I'll never forget. Her parents really raised the kids in those early years.
Oh, the three kids, right.
They lived with them. Anyway, yeah. I could talk to you forever. You're going to have to come back. What do we need men for? A modest proposal. And you're going to hear reasons you will never believe. And maybe you're going to look at the one you have and say, time to update. Anyway, the book is available everywhere. E. Jean Carroll is the writer, and you can read her in Elle magazine. Thank you, E. Jean.
Joan, I worship you.
You're looking good. I'm Joan Hamburg. This is ABC.